say that we introduce ourselves because we are not sure who is part of the delegation. I still believe that it will be appropriate that we introduce ourselves. I will start to read the members.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Tani Mutambo Sibigwana, and a member of this Select Committee of Social Services, spearheaded by Honorable Katie Kamini. I represent the Social Service. Thank you.
Dumerang. Ke la tsapa go pele mampolo ke so le mpopo problem ke se se tsa go ntse ke le lo bona go ntse ke le mampolo
bone my name is Kathy Kamini, member and chairperson of the committee representing Mpopo mampolo.
Dumela, my name is Ntomo Sekaula, member of the committee representing Kingdom of Fazo, Natal.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mama Dines Wani. I'm a member of the Select Committee representing KwaZulu-Natal province in charge of all other provinces.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Vikram Stock. I'm from the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Johan Kao from the Philippines. Protection.
Good morning, honorable members. I am Kinama Kilechimake from the Bobo PCOC.
It's the Border Control Operational Coordinating Committee, sitting under the Home Affairs PMO office.
Thank you. My name is Calvin Rao. I'm coming from the project management for the management.
Good morning. My name is
I'm from DAF, Department of Agriculture, Policy and Fisheries, and I've been seconded to the Border Management Agency Project Office. This is my
message. Morning, Madam President. My name is Moses Anakande. I'm from the Department of Foreign Affairs, which is the Chief Director of the Ministry.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Bonzo Mabuza, the Provincial Minister for Border Control Operational Committee in Bumalan Province.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Alva Africa. I am the project manager for the Border Management Agency in the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Good morning, my name is Gabriel Ponda, and I'm from the Department of Foreign Affairs, Asia.
Good morning, my name is Samuel Maduan. I'm a parliamentarian officer in the Office of the Minister.
Good morning,
Thank you.
Khulumini wala 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 wala.
Thank you very much for introductions. I'm sure you've listened when members introduced themselves. They were indicating that they were representing provinces. That is how the SCOP is structured, not representing political parties, but representing provinces. I have three apologies, one from the DG, the other from the Deputy Minister, and from the Minister. I don't know whether Sebul is representing all of them. There is also another apology of Honorable Senevalch. He was here earlier but needs to attend another meeting. He is from Northwest Province. We just registering a concern again. It will have at least one politician. Because there's a committee we are receiving this briefing for the first time on the border management. Right, not that we say officials don't have capacity to do so, but it always carries weight when a briefing is done to politicians, a political head is part of the meeting. But we do accept that they are in a cabinet meeting committee, that was the reason that we are here to do a take that. We are to discuss with a very important and serious and critical subject, border management. We know that we have some challenges in terms of the management of our borders throughout the country. We have requested this meeting so that as a committee we have a view or an idea on the borders that we are responsible for. I've looked at the presentation. Initially, we had hoped that we would have the heads of the four big business borders in the country presenting to us and understanding the challenges that they have and the possible solutions. Because as we are approaching the festive season, again, the borders will be top on the media. It always assists to ask members of this committee to understand what are the issues and where are we going in terms of dealing with those issues. I happen to be in the border border gate or post during the provincial week. That is in Pumala, one of the business borders. Serious challenges, okay? Which we noticed as we were. I know that same thing happens at Oshu, as well as Bell Bridge, Lucina. The truth, as well, I was told, is one of the border points that is very good. But we are hoping, we're not saying there are no challenges in other border points, but we just want to have an idea what are the trends and we are waiting for the border management agency. What are the trends to deal with issues? Some of them are very much trending. Unfortunately, we don't have other departments that are involved in the border management, like your public works, your staff, and different. They're very much critical when you talk about these issues. You can't just have home affairs alone without getting the other side or the other sectors that are involved. Without wasting time, I will then hand over to the person to make a presentation. I'm not sure who is leading the presentation. You will take us through the presentation, then we will engage with the presentation.
Thank you once again, Chairperson and honorable members.
maybe just to indicate how we have prepared ourselves carefully and then we can decide. So from the National Project Management Office, we have prepared a presentation that you have referred to. We have sent back to the members. In addition to that, Chairperson, we thought the committee may want to have a little bit more detail on the problems that we confront in the border environment. So we prepared a second presentation that gets a little bit more into the details. This is at the national level. Then, Chairperson, in addition to those two national presentations, we have heard your request as a committee to get some of the business support, share with the committee the challenges that they experience and also what plans they have in place. So today, Chairperson, we've got colleagues that have prepared presentations to speak to Maybridge, to deal with Lubombo, and also to deal with Makerebridge. So we've got three specific presentations on those reports of entry, and the colleagues are here able to deal with that. So Chairperson, before I start, I thought I should just indicate to how we prepared. We are ready to start in any manner you deem appropriate. We can start with a national overview. We'd like to give our traditional approach. We are here at your training, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for that. I just want to check with you that we want to hear the challenges first so that when we make it to the proposals from the national level, we are in a position to see if it does respond to the challenges that we need. Or we start with the national conference to the end of the challenge. Or are you coming for them? Presentation from Dylan. I did not hear you talking about OSU. There is no presentation for OSU. Okay, but the person from Kumalanga will help them, I see. From what is happening. Okay. I don't know who's ready. Kumalanga is ready. Okay.
What I'm going to cover, just to give a background and overview of the port of Engine, also cover the traffic segmentation, how we provide the traffic there for to ensure continuous movement. We also go to the commercial facilities that we have there and also share with you the logical process of how we deal with the properties in the foreign country in terms of ensuring that the travelers and the commercial go through all the border commands that are required in the border post environment. We also go to share with the comparative statistics from 2005 to 2015 of the passenger movement. And also, we share the operations of vehicles from 2000 to 2014, just giving you where we go in terms of whether the border is going or going down. And also, just what we call it, share with you what results we have currently. And at the same time, also, then I'll cover the key challenges in the country. This is how the bombo looks like in a normal Saturday all weekend, as well as the public holiday, the census will be looked at this. This is just arrival, full time, terms of jail. The border post, the bombo, has over 5 million travelers per year. And 1 million of those will get a different disease. That's what we believe. Then the passenger movement, if you look at the bombo, if you compare with the other port of entry in the country, it is ranked number 3. And which, because it's currently from January up to the 3.8 million people, and which fell in Austria to our travel, where we see it's 6.3 million, then followed with second by 3, which is 4.6 million people. From the general one thing is also important that test participation through the bombo is what billions of them. We know there's a lot of vehicles that are carrying cargo that are going to the harbor, which must be the rest of the world, and also their movements that are moving from Mozambique to South Africa to Mozambique, and those are what billions of them. Current systems and capacities are very spread with this continued growth. I think this will become clear when you look at the resources that are the movement of cargo and passengers. What do you mean by saying that there are threats in terms of continued growth? And efficiency and productivity are affected because of lack of available staff money. The staff that we have, we don't talk to the volume that we have that deal with. And also the fact that the physical layout of the port, which is infrastructure, and also the fact that the control that we have are exclusive in the sense that each department is exercising its mandate. And we have about 5 departments, key departments there that exercise their mandate. And to combine that into one, it's not a digital. This challenge needs to be addressed to avoid traffic jams, and which also can lead to delays in terms of which can also have implications in terms of our economy. And also, we know that the energy service regulation during peak season, waiting time changes during peak season. You can come to a border environment during December, especially around the Mediterranean. You can spend about 2 to 4 hours just to get to the border. That happens during peak season. And currently, the border is operating from 6 to 12 midnight. This is how we divide our tasks in the border environment. The purple showing where our cargo is going through in the border environment. Then the green one showing all the Wushitan cargo of small vehicles that are going through in the border environment. And we will also have what we call the pedestrian challenge. Just in the picture, this is where we keep where the freight bypass is, the entire freight bypass showing where the cargo goes through. Then this is where we hear the non-cargo or small vehicles the cargo mode. Then we also have a channel here, which is called the food pedestrian, which we get passengers. I just put this in red because one of the challenges that we have. You know, when you approach the border post, the first thing that you see is not really a nice thing to see. It's a formal settlement, trailer there, illegal settlement that is there. And it's a challenge. Which I think later I'll just explain in detail what I mean by that. Then we also have, because of the physical layout, we are not able to hear everything in the border environment. So we extended the sector. This is where we deal with cargo. where you find the Weybridge, the Sponto Delegation, the Park Park, and the Scarborough Church Facility. That's where we deal with the cargo movement. The one that goes through that freight bypass I showed earlier. In terms of a logical process, when you are entering the Republic, the first person that you see is not the official for the Department of Home Affairs. You must first report to them, they must check whether it's passport or you send it, and once they are happy, then you go through the immigration where they do passport clearance, then you do your good clearance, from customs. Then, once that's been done, we have these two sectors where you also need to check whether you've gone through this part of the here. And then as for departure, we, at the first point, when you're leaving the Republic, we see staff and police there. Their role is to make sure that you don't have stolen vehicles, but that you stolen vehicles also to be checked. Because Canada allows you to go to the 15th to verify that. We can even see that anywhere before you arrive at that checkpoint, in terms of stolen vehicles. Then you will go through customs, immigration, border formalities. Then also before you leave, we need to make sure that we check that whatever you have there has been declared indeed and also in goods. Then we also check in terms of your whether you send your passport, then we leave the Republic. In terms of the comparative statistics, in 2005, we were selling 2.4 million travelers a year. But this number has been growing. And also it does reflect a little bit when we had the registration also reflected. If you look at growing up to 3.6, then it went down to 3.4 in 2008, 3.2, now it's growing again. And currently last year we cleared 5 million, and this year we're registering at 3.8 million. And in total, we cleared 40 million travelers in this 10-year period. For vehicles, in 2000, we're dealing with just the light vehicle, which is one car, were about 1,300. Then for heavy, it was 250 per day, which total to 1,550 per day. But today, the number is low. That is because of the harbor in Abuja. So we are dealing with 4,790 vehicles per day that move through the port. If you look at the staff now, our staff complement in the bottom line. When I say staff, I'm not counting the cleaners and whatever. I'm talking about people who are more professional, who are dealing with this movement. From staff, they are only 112. And they are operating 24 hours in a shift. From Home Affairs, they are 154. And if you look at the 150, if you take that 5 million, you divide by the 154, you get that each officer takes 32,000 travelers per annum. And that's equivalent to one border post at Jonathan in Pumala, where they create the whole branch, creates 32,000 per annum. If you look at customs, it's 95 parties. Actually, this number was more than 100 before, but because we also deal with this of corruption, there are those who have been suspended, there are those who have resigned, there are those who have been fired because of corruption. So that number is linked to this number, 95. But this 95, they must be handling 1.7 million vehicles, including the freight. Then also from the coordination, which is the key, we don't have a port coordinator there to be able to manage the border in a coordinated strategic manner. So we rely on deploying from time to time. But this is the issue is receiving accreditation from both staff and Department of Home Affairs. And from Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, it's only 18. And this number, looking at those sectors that were showing there, we cannot cover this number. And the fact that the border operates from 6 to 12 midnight, we cannot cover with this 18. I think we believe that we need to look at this issue in certain models. Also, Department of Health, the number that we have there, 16, is also not enough for the border post. Okay, in terms of our challenges, The first thing that is very, very critical in our environment is the facilities in human trafficking, vehicle smuggling, drugs, contraband, and counterfeit. That's the operation there in the border. We know to say that we have that the fact that in the border environment, you still find that department that got their own structure deals with the profiling, which not integrated, create a bit of a challenge. So we believe that I think it's important to integrate strategy. And interestingly, to deal with the operation in the border is very, very key. Without that, I don't think we'll be able to handle the issues hands on. And also, if you remember, I indicated on that slide where I was showing the border post, where it is a local settlement of on the map of the border post, where we have informal traders as well as illegal sex trade. This is an issue to believe that the municipality, together with the cross-border road transport agency, they need to look into this challenge. I remember in 2003, we have tried to remove those illegal hawkers as well as the tax rate trade with the municipality. It just didn't take a bit. I think it's something which we need to find a way of how to even deal with this issue. And also, once the border post is closing at 12 midnight, the train will move around 1 o'clock. So we have uncontrolled movement of aid. And with this, I think we believe that the only solution for now, we need to look at how fast is the border to conduct regular joint operations on good train. But however, the passenger train is not moving. It was stopped around 2002 because of the challenges we had in terms of migration, where it was new road to live in England. So the train was stopped in 2002. So it's only the cargo train that is moving between the countries. The issue of cargo scanners will be raising this with any DG, any member of parliament that comes to Congo, will be raising that we need scanners there. But you get to understand when I show other systems what they're driving by raising scanners. But currently, what I can respond is that staff is currently looking at this issue, which phase one of the scanners. They want to install a package before the end of this year. They want to install a package scanner that will deal with the non-cargo. But then, as phase two, they will look at installing the cargo scanner. Maybe next year, because I think in terms of their program, they want to start to finish by this before coming to the home in terms of this. So, also, the biggest challenge is that in 2007, a bilateral agreement on one stop border post was signed. But till today, you are still operating in your own island. South Africa is doing their own border formalities and Mozambique is doing their own border formalities. It's something which we believe that needs to be finalized to assist us in terms of every seamless movement in the border environment. Borderline fence and border fence carrying the fence is not the case. It's been a problem. As much as we are trying from the border side, we don't need the resources to close the gap. But it is closing big gaps on the borderline. Is the growth and improving there as well as the our perimeter fence. But what I can report here now is that the public works is handled because I think the listening to the members of parliament committees will be crying about this issue. So they came on board and even last month they came down to do an assessment. So the only project that will deal with this issue of the border fence as well as the perimeter fence. The staffing model. I believe if I look at the volume as well as the current staff, I think for me, I believe outdated is something that really needs to be reviewed by department. And also the problems we have in the border environment, which is from the economic point of view, does affect our economy, is the issue of this unlawful money exchange outside the border code. But this issue, the cost of the we felt very, very clear. We already escalated the issue the first one in the province as well as the JCPS staff. Then also the biggest challenge that we have in the border environment is corruption, bank debt and silo. You would find that the service department when you commit corruption, I'll make an example of what is happening. We know that there were those people who are making for government who are paying for such grants. You find from the Department of Education, the state pay back the money. But from SARS, you are out of the system. exposure, sometimes they are facing the poor environment. And you find also that from some side also, a lot of people are being fired, but from other departments, it seems to be today the issue of corruption. But what do you believe that, I think this requires an integrated approach in terms of dealing with the issue. And you also like that the Department of Police Safety, Security and IT to assist us. We do have a strategy to address the problem, which is that talks to the issue of corruption. So that strategy needs to be revised and also be implemented in the border environment to address some of these challenges. We also have a problem in terms of the lack of integrated management and also operating systems. Under this management is that in the border environment, even though we have a committee that talks to it, but departments are still doing the process, which is not integral to our committee. So they still doing the old risk assessment in which they report directly to the minister. So we believe that the National Border Management Coordinating Center should be able to be empowered to deal with this problem, and also PMA will need to look at the issues integrating the system to make sure that we are able to mitigate the risk in the border environment. Reporting channels not aligned and getting delays in dealing with issues affecting the border frame. I think this one, what I'm thinking about is that you will find that in the border environment, some departments report directly national, some report the province. And when they report the province, their interest is not the border post, something like that. So, but we are happy now that the only department that is left is SAPS, which is yet also to report to national. And I'm told that from the 1st of April, they are going to report to national level. This year, the Department of Home Affairs and the Department of Health, they already joined other departments to report to national level. So everything now is synchronized and it's making it easier for us to deal with the issues affecting the border environment. And also, the closing of the border itself now, and often at 2:00 in the morning has given opportunity also for smugglers. You know what smugglers are doing? They will come in at 7:00 and they will wait there in some garages outside the border. And they will come in big convoys at 6:45, knowing that we're not going to clear one of them at all. If we clearly know that the problem will be we're not going to fetch all of them at once. So, not like what will happen in Bright Bridge where they have all the time with the border 24 hours, or Matero Bridge where they have all the time to do the fishing. So for us, we felt that I think they've always long overdue for permanent 24 hours. But the discussion already underway in terms of this issue. And also, we even thought that if you look at the border, the only border post that access more than the commercial store. There is another one called Kiriondo in Kukuda National Park. But there is no other authority border post that we have that can be used in case the border is contested. So we believe that there is also an outcry from the public to say, why can't you open an additional border post like to deal with the territories, like especially in Buzin area? So there is that discussion that's coming out in terms of issues we need to open the civil border post. That's beyond the issue of addressing the issue of power. In terms of our success, peace operations are well executed since the due to integration of port operational and transport lines. In the past, how we operate was a border post would design our own plan that talks to how do we deal with the issue at the border. But then the traffic will do their own plan. Because how are they going to deal with the traffic as it moves from Joburg to Gauteng to Mpumalanga? But then we as managers sometimes we leave the border. Everything the operating smooth. You come back in the morning. The queue is 11 kilometers. 8 lanes towards the border post. These people, those things were not integrated. That happened in 2002. So now what we did, we integrated the port plan together with the traffic plan. Now we even know how many cars are leaving across the Diamond Hill, how many cars are crossing the visitor, how many times approaching the Masaru door, and how many times approaching Goma is towards the Parapost. So that helps us to understand, to be able to, if it's necessary, where we can stop the cars and release whatever we need for the Parapost. So that will help us a lot. Second, the engagement are taking place at all levels. We have committees at the border which looks at the risk, looks at infrastructure, and also all are taking place in the border environment, as well as provincial and national. We also meet our counterparts to discuss issues affecting border safety. The move for the State of the House and the SDP-SDP is a temporary change in Vietnam. We are thankful because of the success that we have, which some of the shows now. And the third group, we have counterfeited vehicles there in those both of the Federal House and the SAPSAP. These goods and vehicles were seized by the border borderline, at the border borderline. What I mean, okay, that's quickly, yeah, this is what happened in 2015, the border environment has started. You see that this car, when you see a car like this, when it comes to the border, we need to unpack it. That is even the matas off to receive this engine, this motorcycle. So that those are the delays that sometimes are experienced. We need to recover some of this goods from this matas that you see. This is just a new truck to recover. Hence I would say that the camp is full, so we're just parking them outside. This will recover, it's only vehicle. This counterfeit will recover in July. They are worth 11 million. This counterfeit. This contraband as well. I remember in I think it was around 2012. When around Brazil there was a problem, and the Department of Education were reporting that I think the kids, the performance is going down, and all of them are sleeping. We got all of them, in all the standard things, 3, 4, 5, and I'm not an old guru, I don't know what this place, I don't know what that means. Yeah. So, but later, that issue was flexed to intelligence. And they said you had to look at it. Only to find that those kids, after hours, between 6 and 5 in the morning, they are being on the borderline, transporting contraband from Mozambique to Paraguay. That's why they, because every master team can transport the data to Switzerland. So they do maybe 3 per night, the whole night, you go and collect and come back, and go and collect and come back. And that was the reason why those people. But with that, we were able to intercept and deal with the problem. And the SNGF and the arrest that were happening in terms of issues of contraband. We also meet with our counterparts in our state status. This is just one of the meetings where we're having a training on migration and human trafficking. We train with our counterparts from Mozambique because we felt that even if we see ourselves without having to. Also integrate with our counterparts, like we're not doing much, but if we integrate with them, the change some of these things to assist us with the issues that we're facing together at the border. We also from time to time engage the community about issues affecting border crossing. This is one of the engagements that we had recently where the Department of Home Affairs was sharing the socio-economic impact assessment study about the DNA. So we invited the community and we had a discussion with them about it. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the space that you're giving us. Can I give the second presentation? Masera, are you ready? Who is this? What border is that? Yeah.
So we are able to
hear. Well, then you don't have the picture of the borderline.
I have the picture
of the borderline.
Can you just show one picture of the borderland?
I'll look for it and show you. This is just what the position is done for, by saying for about 800 illegal immigrants. But I'll look for it and show this one.
My name is Lewo Handau. I'm the court manager for Maseru Bridge in the district. Just a brief background, Maseru Bridge is situated between Maseru, the capital in Lesotho, and Lady Brands, which is a small town in the district. 15 kilometers from Lady Brands and from the border to Maseru Bridge to Maseru in Lesotho is around 1 kilometer. So we are in the midst of the town of capital of Lesotho. I will take you through the background, operations, challenges, recommendations, invitations, as well as successes. Maseru is one of the four commercial ports in the Free State, and we also have 400 business ports also in the Free State. Maseru is one of the business ports after the breach of the bomb. So in terms of the land border post, nationally Maseru is sitting at number 3. Total number of travelers just in 2014 was 2.4 million. There is a growth in movement at Maseru for the past 5 years, on average of 17.5% per annum. Before we go to this one, this is just a layout of the border post that is in English. Alright. This is from the South Africa intro. So this is our main building where all the offices are. So this is the NH going into Lesotho. We have something that we call the bypass, like the Lebombo, and this is where we have the two platforms where Home Affairs officials are sitting. We are using the bypass when it's busy, like weekends and when they are effective speaking. Strictly, we are using the bypass for the small vehicles, the passenger vehicles. Then they go outside, they don't go through the port, they go outside. And then they rejoin the port and they stay here. But they are within the control area. And then they go back and they are in. Like, this is passenger vehicles coming from the Sudan. This is the pedestrian. At Matero Bridge, we are likely to have a separated pedestrian facility, not attached to the main road. So the pedestrians, they come from the bridge, and there is a small gate they go down, their office, they are just being cleared. Both ways, in and out of the zone, but they don't get mixed up with the main activities of the border. So they go out there and come out on the other side. Like the Bombo, we are having also the challenge of the border police, where there is a system just outside the border. This is the 60 that are parked and the truck just outside the Bombo, the border police. We've got a couple of challenges as Marcelo Bridge. In terms of our set before we go to Marcelo Bridge, we are not as privileged as our colleagues in Ethiopia. Like we have shown the statistics. I've got stats from 2010 up until just 5 years. That will show you what is the movement. In terms of our arrivals, we are sitting at 1.something, at the highest, 1.8 in 2013. This is 2015 up until the end of September. So already we are sitting at 1.4. Our departures, people leaving the country. Okay, if you can realize, you can see a trend that is declining. Most of the Sotho people are getting out of their own country, coming to South Africa. But if you check the departure, most of those people are not coming there. So, normally, our movement is I want arrivals and I want departures. So, it tells the story that most of our Sotho's are, when they come to South Africa, they never go back. Instead, when they go back, they bring some people. Then we get to the challenges. We've got at Matero Bridge, one of our most challenges infrastructure. That part of the entry cannot cope with the movement of anything, either be cargo or people at current state. Because there is only one lane into the port and one lane out. So we are facing a challenge of a very, very long queue, especially on peak hour. That happens almost every day. In the morning, the other reason for the challenge is because most of the people who are doing business in the city are staying in the area. So they travel, you can find one guy traveling 2 times to the border, go and open his shop in the city, come back, open another business in the area. So they got that challenge. The other issue is the school kids. Most of the Lesotho people are attending school kids, right? So in the morning, you've got a large number of school kids that travel in, and in the afternoon, you go out. So the infrastructure that we have currently is a big challenge. You cannot dilute the number of people that are squatting. And then we've got some criminal syndicates. You've got people that we call runners standing outside the borders facilitating criminal activities. And that also is because of the low river levels at the country, where you find that during dry season like now, there is no water in the river. So it's very easy to cross anywhere on the river in the city. And then we have major areas of expertise specialization in terms of the Mpora environment. Insufficient resource to deal with demand. I was listening to my colleague from the Bombay. If you check at my celebration, for Home Affairs, it was only 80 officials. And the border post that matter is open before us, unlike the bomb that closed at 10 o'clock. But we find the bomb is 154. The Home Affairs position is a discrepancy in terms of the presence. I've also checked their customs. They got 95, we got only 50, and we operate in 4 hours. Now, we got only two officials that were between 6 and 10, and they have 18. That's 50. Staff, we got 90, they have 105. Health, we got only two officials working between 6 and 2, they got 18 as well. So I think our political principles are listening. We need to address the imbalances in terms of staff employment, because that directly impacts on our operations in terms of smooth running of the airport. So the insufficient resources is a big challenge there, especially during peak hours and major events. As I talk to you now, on a normal day, Home Affairs has got 18 people on the ship. And we've got 30 service stations, for instance, materials at any given time. But we cannot maintain, because we only have limited. If you take this into consideration, then you've got a problem. And what happens during peak seasons and festive and Easter, we get some staff reinforcement from other provinces, then we manage to get all hands on deck. But immediately after Christmas, everybody goes there together to square. So this is a vicious cycle. And then we, as part of our mitigation or recommendation, it's not like everything is doing well at Mazelo Beach. We do have improved security measures such as CCTV cameras, system all over the coast. So we do have access to police monitoring what is going on around in the port, even inside our offices. We do have some, we need detection, like a container scanner, the same as the bomb. We only have the budget scan of materials to scan past us. Also, we need an integrated approach to deal with illegal immigrants and associated issues. What I mean about integrated approach, like I said, sometimes you police the people that are illegal that come straight to you illegal documents, while those that are illegal are deciding to go through the area, especially when it's private. The infrastructure, really, we have to bring down that border post. There is a master plan development in place by the Department of Public Works. But we don't know when that will be done. But for now, agency needs something. Quality of flow information. We have meetings every day at Mazelo Beach at management level. So there is cooperation, but we can be improved through the integrated water management approach here. Like I mentioned, in terms of staff, we really have to look at the staffing models that we use. But it's not supposed only to be for myself, but we need to look at it holistically. Standardization to say, what should a border post like myself be shared? It's not about myself, it's about this type of board it must operate like this. It is the number of people. And then we need ongoing standardization of processes. We've got a serious challenge. I think everybody is sitting here. South Africa, for customs specifically, even for immigration, our systems in the Supreme in South Africa don't talk to each other. Whether you declare your goods here in South Africa, if you go to Mazelo Beach and launch your trucks, but all of those trucks have been cleared in South Africa. But Lesotho doesn't have space, and they are using a total different system. So, The client has been complaining to say that why are you holding them for us? Then we say we don't have space because this is something otherwise we send out the priest. So we have that challenge where clients have already cleared because South Africa is your policy. So we can clear while you are in there. And when you arrive at Matthew, we just waiting for you, but the city is not going to be. We tell you, you must stop your transfer site and still go there. So those systems are going to talk to each other. And the same goes for immigration. They use exactly the same scanners, everything, but the systems are not linked for everything. So we can catch you here in South Africa, but in the social, you are not linked for everything. Successes, we've got quite a number of successes. Infrastructure, yes, we are dealing with it in terms of managing the RAM, cleaning, maintenance of the current infrastructure that we have. We've got a RAM contractor appointed by the DPW who is doing fairly well. We do have also increased successes against criminal activity due to joint operation on the NH, because most of our cities are fixed at the border. We have a roadblock 2 kilometers always outside the border. So those who when managed to go through the river, we still pick them up at the roadblock. But unfortunately, due to staff constraints, that roadblock is not there 24/7. So we need something. We can improve our health and safety, environment. We also do regular shared training interventions like our police have said, which is very aiding and cost saving. We attend different forums on the province, bilateral, cross-border crime prevention. So those are really helping us with the immediate results that we have. Like Lebombo or National, we do successfully coordinate plans that helps with our counter department around Lady Brands, the staff, as well as SANDF and the staff. So that helps us. Because that roadblock in actual fact, if it's busy at the border, it's the one that is delaying the movement for people to come. Otherwise, the border will be blocked. So the roadblock is a cut-off operation. There's a very improved cooperation between stakeholders. Like I mentioned, we are having our daily meetings, our weekly meetings, so where we discuss our problems. So yeah, things are not that bad. After planning a great city, one in the only time that we are many more used to planning. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Marcelo, what is the right word? Service.
Good morning again, honorable members. Those who have seen the projection there, there is enough music there to bring down this house. But that will stick to the presentation. This is the navigation page where it will be guided by. We have the introduction and the background, the vision and mission, the values, the stakeholders of ECOCC, challenges, recommendations, successes, and some supporting slides. Okay. Lake Bridge is the biggest land port in Southern region, and it forms a boundary between South Africa and Zimbabwe. And like I add that, this is the only official border we have in South Africa with Zimbabwe. The other ones are there, but they're not official ones. So we wish to deal with them, as I will touch sometime on the borderline. It is situated at a distance of 12 kilometers north of Burkina town, and the stakeholders which are represented on a permanent basis are staff, DHA, Port Health, and us. Security Services Agents and Department of Transport, Cross-Border Road Traffic Agency are available on ad-hoc basis with a South African National Defense Force operating in the port periphery and the borderline. So those are the people that are helping us close and restrict those unofficial port of entry that are not on our register. High volume of travelers and cargo movement are experienced on a daily basis, and the first indicates that the movement within the port is steadily increasing. We will later also show that. The current infrastructure is no longer adequate to can handle the increasing movement, increased human resource, that is staff. The staff has increased as we advertise, but sometimes we tend to forget to take up in terms of accommodation, to get them accommodation. So we remain with those challenges. Advanced process flows and risk management cannot be fully adopted due to outdated infrastructure in the port. This is just our moral compass, the mission, the vision, if we can skip that. But as I indicated, this also forms part of the moral compass, because from time to time we need to guide ourselves and go back to the drawing board to establish what it is that we are trying to achieve and what are the parameters. And I just like to touch on one of the values, which is integrity. Let's go down here. Based on the previous slide, sorry. We hold integrity in high regard, as much as we don't say the other ones are not important, but we know that no system is foolproof. And when the systems are lacking or are found wanting, we say our integrity will step in and make sure that we close those loopholes. We don't take advantage of the loopholes for our benefits, but we help the government and the system with our integrity where the systems are lacking. Thank you. The DCOTC has got a couple of, and these are the subcommittees. We've got the Joint Planning and Operations Subcommittee, which is led by SATS. That's where our operations in the port and in the vicinity of the port are being planned. The health and safety issues are led by Port Health, which is also based at the port of entry. Risk management is led by SSA, Security Services Agency, wherein risks are addressed. The anti-corruption, which is led from the coordination structure at the provincial level, is also in place and very much effective. Infrastructure is rotational from department from time to time. This is where now infrastructural challenges are discussed at a broad level. All departments are discussing this matter at this committee. Thank you. One of our challenges, operational state. The current operational state is in unquote of state, as we mentioned before. Demarcation. Honorable members will realize that if you fly into most of our airports, Cape Town and Goa Combo included, if you are from the domestic, chances are you are likely not to be mixed with international travelers. That is demarcation, because a domestic flyer may not necessarily carry the same risk as an international flyer. And also, we at the port realize that certain movements need to be demarcated. The risk that may be carried by a person just carrying one bag may not be associated with the one that is in a truck or a bus, so because of the capacity to carry goods. The parking space, during peak season, parking space gets fully occupied, and that of the port very quickly. We are operating in a very harsh environment where the temperature can easily hit 40 degrees. Last week it was 38 most of the time, and we need port areas for officers. Accommodation, as discussed before, as the human resource increases, we need to have more accommodation to can house them. Recovery capability. This is a trust that will assist us in removing those buses and trucks that are stuck within the port. As we said before, that the space is very limited. Now, if you're going to have a truck or a bus having a breakdown in the port, you are technically closed. because now other parts cannot move. So we need a recovery capability that will be within the port so that it can help us unblock as and when breakdowns happen. Say drinking water. Unfortunately, we are drawing raw water from the Limpopo River, and as much as there are attempts to can refine it, the saltiness is very high, and it's not palatable when you drink. Sorry, when you cook, when you make tea, the tea looks like something else. It's not consumable, unfortunately. Communication. The offices are scattered far within the port, and there is no intercom system. We are saying here for better communication, if we could have some sort of a push-to-talk system where you can just directly talk or communicate with another office without necessarily making those calls. Medical facilities. The injured and sick are forced to wait for an ambulance dispatch from Mutina in order to receive medical attention. By the way, Mutina is 12 kilos away. And we are sharing resources with the town and the neighboring dwellings, like the nearby places. So it is a challenge. We need a medical facility in the port itself. 2 years ago, we had a father passing on in the port of entry. The father was later diagnosed with malaria, and we believe that had there been enough or nearby medical facilities, that person could have been saved. But because now the resources were also deployed elsewhere, the person did not receive attention in good time. And unfortunately, we lost that traveler. Quarantine facilities. And then when departments are waiting some time, they would like to detain goods and quarantine them to make sure or certify themselves that the regulations of the country have been complied with. We don't have space for that. Cargo Siena. Currently we are the biggest land port and we do not have a cargo Siena. But we are fortunate we are happy to report that Devon Harbor is giving us their other Siena. The processes are underway and by according to report, we will be receiving that Siena by the 1st of December 2016. Or they think it will be operational by then. So we are waiting with bated breath on that one. Cold storage. Lack of cold storage hampers on intervention on meat products and plants. This one, honorable members, is one of the critical ones, the baboon. We've got travelers all over neighboring countries and from abroad, and this makes also the travelers to break one of our laws where we say no taking of pictures in the port of entry. But because travelers find the baboon very fascinating, they end up taking their phones and taking the pictures of the baboon, in the process taking pictures of the restricted area. The baboons also pose a hazard, in a sense that, especially women, they've got no respect for women. If a lady is traveling with her groceries, a baboon will go and snatch the groceries from a lady. And it will be high on the tree and consuming that juice. Recreational facilities. Lifestyle enhancement measures need to be put in place in order to negate lifestyle illnesses prevalent at port of entry. Here we are saying we do not have much to stimulate us. And if we can have recreational facilities and gym facilities, perhaps when we are off, we can find ourselves engaged in a more positive engagement than what we have seen before and what we would like to do away from.
Thank you.
Okay, here we've got a recommendation or possible remedies. Redevelopment of the port. I think for Bay Bridge, total redevelopment of the port will assist us. Sufficient operational space. Separation of arrivals and departure, because there are departments where in there are risks, like in customs, you get issues like goods export, where in travelers claim to have exported goods and they haven't done so, And because the system or the processes in the port allow them just to make a U-turn in the port, that also poses a challenge for us. You find that people are engaged in goods exports and things like that because of lack of risk-based processes. Separation of commercial and passenger section, as we said, the risks are vast, and this needs to be separated and far apart. Sufficient parking space, port area for officers. In an area where temperatures easily hit 40 degrees, we cannot expect somebody to be standing in the heat for 8 hours without clothing. And this also has got health implications on our officers. Sufficient residential accommodation. We get challenges wherein a good honest officer comes to work at the port, but at a later stage, after renting out accommodation, he realizes that now, I'm residing in a house that is owned by his mother. What do you do in that instance? You move out, you make friends with him, but again we say integrity is our main pillar. So if we can manage to get the officer's accommodation, we will be helping to make the ground less fertile for our officers. Cargo truck recovery capability, as we've mentioned, on this one, it would really assist departments like SNDF may assist here with as a quick win solution, but we understand that this will fall under the competency of panel. But in the interim, SNDF has got the capability to can assist in making sure that they can bring about or they can store in their military facility, which is just 12 to 15 kilos away, a recovery truck which from time to time we may utilize. Safe drinking water, this will go a long way in improving our quality of life at the port. Provisions of shade, as we talked about the heat, and also this negates the otherwise good customer experience that the traveler would experience. We've got long demarcated pathways wherein the traveler has to queue. And when they queue, unfortunately, there's no shade there. You find that media like Facebook and the like, that's where people start taking pictures and putting us in bed line to say we've been waiting for 3 hours in the car. But if there was shade, then the experience would have been much better. We also feel that intercom with speakers placed at strategic points will assist. Medical facility to offer expedited services to travelers who need attention. This is very crucial, especially during peak season, where at some point during the Easter season, we've processed in one day 36,000 people in one day. Now imagine if out of 36,000 people, how many people are sick at that point in time? So this is very critical. The quarantine facility, the cargo scanner, as we said, the processes are underway. SARS is in the process of moving it from Durban to Beitbridge. The cold storage and long-lasting measures in dealing with baboons. Here, there are attempts. The rangers from the gate will come from time to time to try and scare the baboons off. But as soon as they start a vehicle, the baboons come back. So we need a long-lasting intervention with these baboons, because one day they will really injure or cause fatality. They are very dangerous. Recreational and gym facility will again assist after hours. These are just the supporting slides, supporting the statement where we said the movement is steadily increasing. If you look from 2010 up to 2014, this is the 14th of June. 2014. The movement by the end of December 2010 is almost eclipsed by the movement in June 2014. So this is how much really we are growing. And again, if you look at what 2013 presented, over 6.5 million people traveled in total. Okay. These are just again increasing movement showing of truck light vehicles. You can see again, as the years go by, they are improving. I mean, they are increasing in numbers. Okay. We are again here trying to highlight the infrastructural challenges. This is the main processing area wherein travelers have got no option but to queue here. Whether the temperature is 40 degrees or it rains or there's a hailstorm, they have to queue here for them to receive the much required service. So the infrastructure is really inadequate. We touched on breakdowns. In 2014, this truck hit the mouth of the port at the gate. And what happened is the owner of the towing company made it clear that he's not going to start this truck until this man deposits money in the account. Hence we say, if we can have a locally stopped or a government towing capability like this one, just so that we make sure that we reach this and remove it from the strategic point, we have those points where we can just move it from our side while this man is trying to organize his own towing. Currently, the port does not work if things are like this because other trucks cannot access the port. So we are saying if we can have something like this for interim measures, just to pull it from here to the side where it will not disturb the traffic. Not everything is bad or challenging. We've had a number of successes. On operational, just last week we had a success of about 2 kilos of heroin, which was a joint effort between FARC and SAPS. Stolen vehicles that are recovered from both the port and the borderline. We successfully executed last week the first leg of the Amani 2 exercise, wherein the SADC countries' military forces have converged in South Africa at Luhata to do their exercise there to better prepare the region. So it was one of the successful engagements. We also had successes in diamond, worth 2 million last month. We are also having cordial relations with bilateral counterparts. Valaudi, again, we wish to thank you for your effort in the leadership you showed with the trafficking in person engagement we had with the Zimbabwean. We successfully had a number of fixes and operations wherein they were successful. We no longer hear about people saying they spent 2 days in the queue trying to enter Bike Bridge. We process efficiently and effectively, and I will later show how we do that. This is how we achieve success during the peak season. If Bike Bridge was a car, the peak season would be a sport mode. And with sport mode, more resources are consumed. Unfortunately, we cannot always be on sports mode because of limited resources. Managers have come to me before and said, why can't we have this peak season mode fully engaged throughout the year because we're achieving so much? And I said, if we can manage to bring those trucks on the ground, the numbers that we need, we can be fully on sports mode. But unfortunately, the funds don't allow. What happens here is, as the other colleagues have alluded, we also have challenges with traders, catering, and further down here we've got a filling station. That's what exacerbates our challenge. That Shell garage is apparently carrying 500,000 liters of petrol alone. There's also diesel there. So that poses a risk as well. But what happens here is you've got segmentation of vehicles in terms of their type. Light vehicles, events, light commercial vehicles, instead of accessing the port during peak season, we divert them through the help of our provincial traffic, we divert them into the bypass, wherein they don't enter the port, they drive all the way through the western bypass and enter here. This is what we call a sector 4, because we sectorize the whole port. Every place is sectorized. Sector 4, you find customs, home affairs, police, all departments here certifying themselves that their regulations have been adhered with. Therefore, after the BTOCC members have satisfied themselves, the light vehicle will come through this way and then exit the port here. Whereas in normal course of events, they will just enter the port, deprocess somewhere here, and display it this way. Then we have the red line that shows cargo. These are the incoming trucks coming from Zimbabwe and other countries. They enter here and pass through here. This is now we've made a dedicated processing sector. We call it Sector 10. Only trucks are processed here for incoming movement and outgoing, because you can imagine the space that one truck takes. So we want them to move as quick as possible so that more trucks can come and be processed. So at Sector 10 here, they'll park here, department satisfy themselves, and then they follow the red line again and exit the port. We've got taxis, buses, passenger light vehicles that are inbound. They will come and be processed at the top office here. They line up here and go to immigration and all other departments to be processed here. Light vehicles, they come and park at the bottom. We call it Sector 11. That is where they are being processed. To also augment our processing capability, we put two park homes here as well, so that we can process the pedestrians. So during, this is now permanently adopted, and then when the traffic is high, we no longer send the pedestrians into the main operational building. We send them to the park homes where they get expedited service here. We have taxis, buses, and passengers that are exiting. They also park through the port and get the specialized service as well. This is their link. They enter here. But this one is flexible. The buses that are departing during peak season, as well in sport mode, we park them here. We call this Sector 2C. We put officials here from Home Affairs and one from Customs to expedite processing. This is where we win the battle, honorable member. We can process a bus in 20 minutes or less when we are fully capacitated with 14 officers here. Then SAPS is also here on the ground to make sure that contraband does not exit our port of entry. So we also have the pedestrians that we are also exiting. They go through the same process as they are coming in. It's here in purple. They enter the port. We put in a demarcated fence that's clearly marked. They go through around, and they don't go to the main operational building as well. Those two park homes will serve them, and off they go in a straight line. But the challenge here, from this point up until the gate here, it can be maybe 700 meters, which is very long. There is no shade, as we indicated before. So if people are queuing here, they'll be queuing in the car. They'll be exposed to the elements. So that is the challenge we currently have. From the lesson learned, a lot was achieved under leadership of BTOCC. A lot of successes, as my colleagues have also indicated. But we feel that there's been limited sharing of information under the current setup, because the systems don't talk to each other, as it was earlier alluded to. Accounting in silos. Sometimes when we have to account for certain things, you find that I'm saying no, I know who my principal is, and I can account to my principal. So that becomes a challenge as well. National security matters, like corruption and the porous borderline. This remain challenges, in as much as we are trying to deal with them, but we are saying we need a body that will be in a single format dealing with these three aspects. So we believe that the current setup that is underway will go a long way in addressing the above. With that, we say Ndione mafumbo era vara vafarala una zvino. Thank you very much.
So thank you very much, Bill Beach. Well, members, I don't know where you want. That was the last presentation of the bulletin. You also don't have the official borderline. I can see that they are poorer.
Yeah. But I'm sure we can take around the moment that the
issue comes. Okay, and the member,
I was more interested
on the informal water. You want to show that informal housing?